when you're born again, God lives in your spirit. But his desire is that Christ dwell fully in your hearts. Your heart is like a garden, and you can choose what dwells in your hearts. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says, pray that Christ, by faith, dwell fully in your heart. God said to Moses, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among my people. God has always wanted fellowship with his people, and God never changes. He still wants fellowship. In Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door. The book of Revelation was written to the church. He's speaking to believers. And yes, we use it to get people saved. But it's written primarily to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I'll come in and have supper with him. God wants a fellowship with his people. God loves you and me so much that he has given us all these names whereby we can know his character and what he wants to do for us. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what he wants of you and me. That's what Jesus paid for, that you and I can live with nothing missing and nothing broken. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider, that every need you have, he will meet it. He said, I give you the desires of your heart. He's Jehovah Rapha, your healer. That your body should be free of all sickness and disease and infirmity, and your emotions should be emotions of joy and peace and love. He's Jehovah Nissa, for he's your victory. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. Habakkuk 3, verse 19 says, God is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. That's the manifestation of Jehovah Nissa. His banner over you, the banner of victory. You're called to be a super conqueror, more than a conqueror. But all because of a lack of knowledge have fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to put that glory back in us and upon us. And God provided sacraments, in particular, 5 baptisms to move us to that place where God can remain in our hearts, God can be upon us, and we can walk in victory and power in every area of our lives. And today we are here to celebrate baptism by full immersion in water. Baptism by full immersion in water. And today, I want to focus on a different aspect of water baptism. I'm going to touch briefly upon a lot, but focus on one particular area. If we look at Webster's dictionary, we see that baptism is a Christian sacrament marked by the use of water, which allows admission into the Christian community. Most good Christian churches teach baptism as an identification with Jesus Christ. And that's a good starting place. But that's all it is, a starting place. Here at ABC, our primary focus on baptism is the washing away of the past with water to live anew in the glory of the Father. Romans 6, verse 4. Wash away the past. We start over. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. All the evil that's been done to you, all the harm that's been done to you, all the evil and the harm that you've done have all been washed away. In fact, the evil that your ancestors did, that too has been washed away. The scriptures tell us that the sins of the fathers go down to the third and the fourth generations. Now, God loves you and me so much that we all have guardian angels. The church loves to talk about guardian angels. They don't love to talk so much about fallen angels. Fallen angels are bad angels. They were disobedient to God. Now, a guardian angel, they outnumber the bad angels. For every 2 good angels, there's 1 bad angel. 2 to 1. And every person, every child, has at least 1 guardian angel. which guardian angel is to protect them from all evil, lest they even fall and dash their foot against a stone. But the angels only go to work when you voice God's word. This is God's word, and you got to give voice to it. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, the angels hearken, listen for the voicing of God's word. God says, my word shall not come back to me void, but it shall function in that whereupon I sent it. Whatever he sends his word to do, it will be done. He has put his promises in here, and when we speak them out, the angels bring them into being. No, the bad angels are often called demons, devils, evil spirits. All they are fallen angels. You don't need to be afraid of them. Because when you say to a bad angel, in the name of Jesus, get out of here, they have to get out of here. When you say to a good angel, help me to find my lost cell phone, he will bring it back. And we have many, many, many examples of that specific one I just used. Missing cell phones, laptops, purses, wallets, glasses. It goes on and on. So remember, no one, not from the smallest child to the oldest adult, which is perhaps me, we don't need to be afraid of fallen angels, of demons, devils, and evil spirits. They must be obedient to the children of God. Just on the news recently, this young boy, I forget how old, 6 maybe, was kidnapped by a man who drove around with him for about an hour or two. And this little boy the entire time started singing, God is my deliverer. God is my deliverer. God is my deliverer. And after an hour or hour and a half, the guy couldn't take it anymore. He let him out and released him. About 20 years ago, I knew another one, a man I know, have met, not friends, but I've met him. He had a friend whose little daughter was kidnapped by a man. And so the little girl is just, you know, hey, cool, she's not afraid. She's going with this guy. And so they're chatting and they're driving along and he's taking her someplace. And after a while, she says, well, it's time for me to go home. The guy just ignored her. So a few minutes later, she said, it's time for me to go. The guy just ignored her. She looked at him and says, you're not a nice man. In the name of Jesus, let me out. The guy looked at her and says, I don't like the way you talk. Get out. Push out the guy. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Power in the name of Jesus belongs to the youngest person, to the oldest person, to the strongest person, which is probably me again. Okay? But do understand that the scripture says the sins of the fathers go down to the third and fourth generation. Let me give you an example. First sin committed by a man was Adam. Adam had a garden, and God wanted to fellowship with Adam in the garden, but Adam sinned. Because of Adam's sin, all the evil came into the world. So if Adam sinned, then the sin has to go down to the third and fourth generation. So we skip the fourth generation and go to the fifth generation. What do we find? We find a man named Jared. J-A-R-E-D. Jared. Okay. Jared. Now, what's his claim to fame? Well, he happened to have lived 962 years, which makes him the second oldest man. 962. Second oldest man. Plus, he had a son whose name was Enoch. And Enoch was so awesome. Was so awesome that he walked, Bible says he walked with God. God liked him so much, God just took him. And Enoch was not. Just went, whoop, it's gone. Never died. Well, dude was not even born again. And God liked him so much, he just took him. Not bad. Not bad for the fifth and sixth generation. We hit the seventh generation. This is seventh after Adam. Okay, if you include Adam, it would be the eighth. Seventh generation. Enoch had a son named Methuselah. He just happened to be the oldest dude ever lived. So far. 969 years. So here's Enoch. His father is 962. His son is 969. Methuselah's name means, when I die, the flood shall come. I have a long teaching of, when I die, the flood shall come. In the year he died, guess what happened? The flood came. That is the longest running affirmation in the Bible. For 969 years, he and people said, when he dies, the flood will come. 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 Take the trash out, please. That's his name, right? And Methuselah had a son whose name was Lamech. And Lamech had a son whom you all know. His name was Noah. Noah. No, you see what happened to the generational blessings going down? Had to get by the sin first. But once we got by the sin, third and fourth generation, look what these people did. There's a famous study in American history where they went back and studied from the settlers' day, colonial days, forward, two families. One, they started with a man who I guess was a judge, and one who was a horse thief. And they tracked both families down throughout the years. And the judge's family produced senators, congressmen, more judges, rich people, doctors, etc., etc. The horse thief produced horse thieves, murderers, vagrants, all sorts of terrible things. That's called generational curses. Generational curses. One of the primary purposes of water baptism is to end generational curses. It's the washing away of the past. The washing away of the past. So let's focus a little bit. Number one, part A, identification with Jesus. Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. What kind of salvation? Well, if you're confessing Jesus as your Savior, then you're saved. If you're confessing him as your Lord, then he becomes your Lord, and you're washed by the water of the Word. If you're confessing him as your healer, then healing comes. If you're confessing him as your provider, then provision will come. Whatever you confess him as, whatever you call upon the name of the Lord, as that name of the Lord, that's what comes to you. Romans 6 verse 3. 6 verse 3 says, as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. That's how baptism in really good churches is normally taught. You're baptized into the death of Jesus. Jesus Christ took every bad thing that was in the deck, the stack of life, meant for you. He took it all. He took all your sins. If he took all your sins, then he took all the wages of your sins. Just simple logic. Not to mention, that's what it says. He took everything. Because Jesus was greater than Adam. And every terrible thing in the world came into the world because of Adam. The Bible says the first Adam was a living soul. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was a spirit of life, a quickening spirit giving life. He's here to give life to you, to me, to every cell, organ, and system in our body. He is life. In fact, he said it. On the way, the truth, on the life. He's here to give life. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we got eternal life. Our spirits were born again, and our reservation was made to go to heaven because the children of God belong in heaven. Not because of what you did or what you didn't do. We are going to heaven because the family of God belongs in heaven. But while you're here on earth, he took your sins so you should be righteous. He took your infirmities and sicknesses so you should be healed. He took your poverty so you should be rich. He took everything that was bad. Everything bad that came into the world, he took it so you could have the opposite. And this identification is that when you are water baptized, your body goes down into the water and you identify with the death of Jesus. Jesus died and went into the earth, and we go under the water and we identify with his death. We're accepting his death. We are dying with him. And then when you come out of the water, the Bible says you come out into newness of life. For just as the glory of the Father raised Jesus from the dead, just so the glory of the Father keeps you walking in newness of life. For you all know the Bible says that when you're born again, you're a new creation. You're a new creation. Let's turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, the last chapter in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Notice there are two actions here. It's believing and being baptized. Where elsewhere it says, if you believe and confess. And what's the difference? Elsewhere, the focus is on your spirit being born again and eternal life. Here, the focus is on not just being born again, but moving into the entire blessing of your salvation package. And your salvation package contains everything that Jesus paid for. Everything that's represented in all the names of God is contained in your salvation package. If you study the word out for salvation and saved, you'll see it includes all those items. If you want to move into divine health, if you want to live without medicines, doctors, hospitals, without getting sick, it is necessary to be water baptized. In fact, if you want to move into all the blessings of God, it is necessary to be water baptized. And there are five baptisms. The first baptism, of course, is being born again. You're baptized into Christ. Second baptism, you're baptized by the washing of the water of the word as you accept Jesus as Lord. You're baptized into his lordship. Then there's baptism into water, which we're doing today. Baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with tongues, for Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Also said he came to baptize with fire. You're baptized in fire where you let the word of God and the Spirit of God burn away from you everything that God doesn't like, that he may dwell in your heart, you and he, in your garden, fellowshipping. And you've burnt away everything that would try to get into the garden of your heart and interfere with your fellowship with God. Amen? Five baptisms. You want to walk in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ? You need five baptisms. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. We're all believers. Here are the signs that identify that you're a believer. In my name shall they cast out devils. What's the first sign? In my name shall they cast out devils. Wow. Isn't it interesting that the first sign is you cast out devil, and the church doesn't like to talk about fallen angels? The world does. They make all kinds of movies about demons and devils. Angels and demons and whatever, and you know, rattlesnake and devils. I mean, whatever they make, these movies, because they want to make money. And the people, listen, some of the, you know, people into drugs and people into heavy, ungodly music, they know more about demons and devils than almost every single Christian on earth. Trust me. We had one guy who became a Christian, and he's a rock, very successful, heavy, hard rock musician. It's a big concert, I guess today they call them raves, and everything is wild, people using drugs, and he's playing and playing, and after a while he gets tired, so he stops, because it's a big band, he stops. He stopped playing, and the guitar kept going. The guitar kept playing. Freaked him out, he dropped the guitar, he left, and eventually got saved. Praise God. Praise God. Okay? In my name they shall cast out devils. When you go into the water, it's an identification with Jesus. You go into the water, you identify with his death. When you come out of the water, you come out in power and authority, knowing you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. And the glory of the Father will keep you walking in new life, in power. Amen? Amen. So that's identification. Let me lead you in a prayer. This is primarily for those who are going to be water baptized today, but everybody could say this, okay? So just repeat after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I thank you for Jesus.
I thank you for Jesus.
I have received him.
I have received him.
All my sins have been paid for.
All my sins have been paid
for. I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
He lives in my heart.
He lives in my heart.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
When he says jump,
when he says jump,
I say how high.
I say how high.
And I commit today.
And I commit today.
As I come out of the water.
As I come out of the water.
I commit. To live my life.
To live my life.
As a Christian.
As a Christian.
As a follower of Christ.
As a follower of Christ.
And Jesus.
And Jesus.
You are my example.
You are my example.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Suggestion, once you come out the water, you learn to confess your sins frequently. You simply say, Father, I did this, I'm sorry. I receive my forgiveness. Confess your sins frequently. Part B, the entryway for walking in divine health. When we are baptized, we shall be saved. Saved from everything that Adam allowed into the world, which includes sickness and disease. Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. We're buried by baptism into death. That means the old you went into the water, but the old you didn't come up. What came up is a new creature. You're buried by baptism into death, and a new creature comes up. A creature comes up who's full of God, who has God in his spirit, who has Christ in his heart, and who has the Holy Spirit resting upon him. That's what you want to picture as you come out of the water. That you're buried with him by baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised up from the dead, just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. His glory keeps us walking in newness of life. And if we believe that, then we go on to Romans 6:11, which says, likewise, reckon yourself. Reckon is an accounting term. It's like you go to the supermarket and you fill your cart with all the stuff and you bring the cart to the clerk and the clerk reckons up the total. And when you bring the supermarket of your life with all your sins and all your mistakes in it and you bring it and infirmities and bring it to the clerk and the clerk runs the total, the clerk looks at you and says, the total is zero. Somebody has already paid the price. Somebody has paid the bill, and it's Jesus Christ. Reckon yourself dead to sin. You don't have to sin. You don't need to sin. And when you sin, your sins have already been forgiven. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:11. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Dead to sin, why? So you can be alive unto God through Jesus Christ your Lord. Okay? So when you come out the water, you come out with the understanding that you're now a new creature. All things have passed away. And the glory of God in you and on you is going to keep you walking in life. And you're going to confess your sins frequently. And you can even ask the Spirit of God to fall on you whenever you think of it. So if you'd like, let me lead you in a prayer of commitment. Ready? Lord Jesus, you suffered terribly.
For my sins.
And so I commit,
to living a life
which is free of the dominion of sin.
And instead of sinning,
I choose to walk in the blessings of health. And every blessing of God. For you purchased them for me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. And I agree with each of you who said those prayers so far. So, good prayers after you come out of the water. changing your lifestyle. You're a new creature. You have new habits, new goals, new behaviors, new way of thinking, new way of speaking, new ways of praying. And here's a prayer I recommend. In the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin. In the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin. Woo! Let me tell you. I learned that when I backslid many, many years ago, decades ago, and fighting my way back out of it, God taught me. And I tell you, over the years, this prayer has pushed sin further and further and further out of my life. Now, whenever you confess your sins, and after you repent, the Lord, you know, I'm sorry that I did this thing. Please forgive me. Help me not to do it again. That's all you confess. You can go on if you want to say, and in Jesus' name, I renounce every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind these sins. And I break their hold on my life. You can do that if you want. I do it all the time. I automatically do that all the time. Now we got a part C, which is what I want to focus on today. The ministry of water. The ministry of water. In Numbers 19, verses 18 through 19, we see that the clean person, the person who's clean, sprinkles water on unclean objects and persons to cleanse them. Remember that when the world was full of sin, God worked with Noah to cleanse the world. And he cleansed the whole world by sprinkling water on every person and every object and every animal. He sprinkled so much water that the whole world drowned and was destroyed by water. A lot of sprinkling. The clean person, Noah, sprinkled the world with water by partnering with God. Hebrews 11:7 says, Noah condemned the world. Understand that. Noah condemned the world. Jesus used water in his ministry more than he did other things. Oil, for example. I have a friend, we went to high school together, and he became a Catholic priest. And we've been friends over the year, and he really loves God. Really loves God. And he was telling me this story. He's Jamaican. He was walking in Jamaica down the street, and people came running over. Father, Father, come quickly. Father, Father, come quickly. Duppies, duppies. For those of you who are Americans, duppies is the Jamaican word for a ghost. So come quickly, come quickly. Duppies, duppies. So he said, you know, I went to see what's going on. Walked to this house. And from the kitchen, he heard noise. So he went to the kitchen and peeked into the kitchen. He says, you won't believe what I saw. Saw pots flying across the room. The cupboards opening and slamming shut. The windows going up and down. And he said, and there's not a single person there. I said, well, what did you do? He said, didn't know what to do. So I prayed. Felt led to take my little shaker, shaker. You know what I'm saying? Catholic priests, they have a little, like it's like a cup at the end of a stick. And the cup, you can put something in it. And generally, you put water in there. And when you shake it, the water comes out. Okay? I don't know what they call it, but I call it a shaking stick. Okay? So he took his little shaking stick, and he shook water around the room. He said, everything stopped. Peace. I said, that's wonderful. What did you do next? He says, are you kidding? I got out of the air before it started again. No, I understand that. I think he was led by the Spirit of God to do that. The Catholics call that holy water, by the way. They call it holy water. Okay? See, I believe he was led by the Spirit of God to do that. But he didn't have the teaching. Okay? Didn't have the teaching as to why it works. So, Numbers 19, verse 20. An unclean person, listen carefully. An unclean person must be washed with the water of separation, or else he's cut off from the congregation. You understand? Being cut off from the congregation, being put out of the church, is equivalent to being turned over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote. Put him out of the church for the destruction. Put them out of the church. Turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul may be saved. That's so important in churches. So it's saying here, in Numbers 19:20, the unclean person must be washed with the water of separation, which is just water, or else he's cut off from the congregation because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, this water is not even sanctified, set apart, or prayed over. It's just water. Leviticus 15, verse 13. Those who are sick with an issue wash their flesh with water and are cleansed. 2 Kings 5, verse 10. Naaman was in charge of the armies of Syria, which was a major country at that time. But he had leprosy. So the king sent him to Israel for a healing, because he had heard about Elijah. So he comes to Elijah, having traveled all the way from Syria, this powerful man, head of the armies of Syria, comes and says, "The king sent me to be healed." Elijah did not even go out to meet him. Elijah sent a servant and said, "Tell him to go wash 7 times in the river Jordan." 7 times. And Naaman got really bent out of shape. Instead, "I traveled all this way. Hey, our rivers in Syria are better than this river here. It's cleaner, better." He was bent out of shape. And his servant says, "But listen, if it asked you to do something hard, would you have done it?" "Yeah." "Then why are you complaining about something easy?" So he goes, he washes 7 times in the Jordan, and he's healed of leprosy, and his flesh is restored. Power of water. Water washes away the past. Water washes away the generational ties. To fully understand this, you need to understand a little bit about sin. Sin has 4 components. When you sin and you know it, when you sin and you know it and you're willing, it affects your fellowship with God. If you do it willingly and if you know it, then it affects your fellowship with God. But if you don't know it, or if you're forced to do it, like a rape, for example, then it does not affect your fellowship with God. Oh, by the way, sin affects your fellowship with God when you do it or when you intend to do it. Because if you intend to do it in your heart, or if you do it in your heart, if you have the opportunity, but the opportunity doesn't come, which happens a lot when you're watching television, can't happen a lot when people watch television, then the intention is enough to affect your fellowship with God. Now, if it does not meet those conditions and does not affect your fellowship with God, there's still a snail trail. You ever see a snail walking along? What do you see behind him? A slimy trail behind him. Sin always has a slimy trail. We call those slimy trails curses. Every sin has a curse. The other 3 components are involved in the curses. Whenever you sin, whether or not it affects your fellowship with God, it opens you and your body up to attack from the enemy. They can be more active in tempting you. They can be more active into leading you into temptation. Now, God loves you so much. He says, "I will not lead you into temptation," which implies you are doing what he's saying. But if you ignore him, he'll still deliver you from all evil. "I lead you not into temptation, but I deliver you from all evil." Because God set up the Garden of Eden so he could fellowship with us. So we could walk with every need met in power and authority. God gave Adam power and authority over the entire world, and it still belongs to us today. People just don't know it, and they walk in sin so much that they're deceived. We still have that authority. And God still wants us to live that way. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth today, as it is in heaven." He wants you to live on earth today just as it is in heaven. And in heaven, there's no sickness, no infirmity, no disease, no problems, no snail trails. God wants you to live without the snail trails. So if you went out to your veranda and you looked in your veranda and it's been raining and the snails have been crawling across your veranda and there's snail trails all over, what do? You get water. You get water and you wash it off. Isn't that what you do? That's what we do with all the snail trails of our life. We wash them away with water. We wash away the snail trails with water. Every sin, we wash it away with water. And as you're going to baptism and you're going to the water and you're coming out, you're identifying with his death. You're going to live a new life with the glory of the Father. But every pain of the past, every hurt, every terrible thing done to you, all the terrible things you've done, all those trail snails are washed away. And you come out with the power of Jesus in your word. And anybody tried to hurt you, you say, in the name of Jesus, no. In the name of Jesus, no. I was in a ministry overseas many years ago. And this evangelist and I were doing this thing jointly up in the Warwick Hills, when Warwick Hills of Jamaica was the most dangerous place in the Caribbean. And neither he nor I could sing, period. So we had this lady that we'd led to the Lord, and she was a really good singer. And so she'd sing every evening. And we're in this big house planning for the next day, and they tell us that she's sick. She can't come to the meeting. And so David and I are sitting there talking. For those of you who know him, it's not important, but some of you know him, it's David Houghton. So David and I are talking. What are we going to do? We can't sing. And there's a little girl around 8 years old. And while he and I, great men of God, are figuring out what to do, she goes upstairs to where the woman is, lays hands on her, and says, be healed. And 10 minutes later, the lady comes back downstairs and says, I'm ready to go to the meeting. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's the power in the name of Jesus. That's the power in the hearts of young people. Okay? Now, John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Mark chapter 1, 9 verse 10. That's how important water baptism is, that Jesus did it. No, he had no sins in his past to wash away. He was setting an example for us. In John 5, verses 2 through 9, John 5, verses 2 through 9, we see the story of the pool at Bethesda. Bethesda is the pool. Pool consists of water. And the way it was that periodically an angel would stir the pool. And when the angel stirred the pool, the first person that got into the water was cleansed, past was washed away, and they were healed instantly. So the pool was surrounded by people. So Jesus came, and there's this man who was so infirm, he couldn't get into the pool. He'd been there for years, but he could never be the first one in the pool. So Jesus healed him. But notice the power of the water. Water is so important in ministry that when Jesus didn't have water, he'd use what? Spit. In John 9:6, the man was blind, so Jesus spat into the ground, stirred it around, made some clay, put it on his eyes, and the man got healed. In fact, he then told him, go to the pool and wash in water. Two applications of water. And the man got healed. In Mark 8:22-26. Mark 8:22-26. Blind man came to him. And Jesus looked at him. Took him outside of the town. You might say, why? I don't know why. Maybe he didn't want anybody to see what he's doing next. He took the man out. See, the blind man couldn't see. Right? Blind man can't see. The other people can't see because he took him outside of the town. I'm somewhat being facetious, but I don't know how it works. Took the man who sat it down and just spat in his eyes. And then he said, can you see? And the man says, yes, I can see. I can see men as tall as trees walking. So Jesus prayed again and he could see normally. Now, many years ago, 3 decades ago, there was a lady I knew who went blind in one eye. And I'm there praying for her one night. It's like 35 years ago. I didn't know the story. I'm praying and I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, spit in her eyes. I said, what? He said, spit in her eyes. I'm sorry, Lord, I can't do that. That must not be God. I can't believe that. So I didn't do it. I kept praying. Nothing happened. So a few days later, I'm at home and I said, God, you know, I don't understand why you didn't heal this lady. It's obvious, right? I was disobedient. But I did not know the story. But it shouldn't make any difference. God says to do something, you should do it. I mean, I knew it was God, right? I never spit in anybody's eyes before. So, a few days later, I'm at home praying and says, God, what do I do? He said, pray. So I started to pray. I had a party to start at 7. At 6, I started praying, thinking, I just pray for half an hour, come out. I prayed to 7. I prayed to 8, to 9, to 10. People came to the party. They had dinner. They left. They didn't see me. I prayed to 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. Somewhere around 3 or 4, God says, that's enough. I stopped. Next day, I called the lady. She says, you won't believe what happened. She says, I bent over this morning washing my face, and something fell out of my eyes. The doctor would tell her she had surgery on the eyes. Totally blind. The doctor said to her, that which fell out of your eye is impossible. The lady says, here it is. And it says, and if it falls out of your eyeball would fall out. And in any case, you're blind. You can't see. The lady said, I'm seeing, doctor. Seeing. We still have that little thing because her niece attends ABC and she has the souvenir. That was 30, 35 years ago. She got her sight back. Okay? I could have saved myself the embarrassment of my dinner party and all those hours of prayer if I just spat in her eyes. Anybody here want me to spit in your eyes? Now, why does this all work? It's all summarized in 1 John 5, verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Let me give you a 10-cent editorial. You'll never hear me say that a Bible is not the Word of God. Okay? My favorite Bible is the King James Version. But different Bibles have different levels of revelation knowledge. There are several Bibles that either do not have the Scripture or only have part of it. Any Bible that does not have the Scripture or only has part of it is not a good Bible to use for spiritual warfare. The Scripture here, number 10, C10, 1 John 5, 7, and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So you might test your Bible to see if it's good for spiritual warfare. And these three are one. In other words, their revelation knowledge and understanding of the Word of God for spiritual warfare is very limited when they leave the Scripture out or put a part of it. And there are three that bear witness on earth. Generally, if they do that, you'll find there are many other Scriptures which are missing. One of the most popular Bibles on earth today has, I think, like 30 Scriptures missing. I have a list of it someplace. 30 Scriptures missing. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three are one. So there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Remember what the song said? You're born again. Of water, and the blood, and the Spirit. We understand the Spirit. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you're born again. We understand the blood. It's because of the blood of Jesus, why all these things belong to us. And we're starting to understand the water. That the water severs the past, washes away the past, washes away all the snail trails and all the pains and all the horrors, and move you to that place where you can walk with confidence and power and authority to use the name of Jesus to stop every evil that comes against you. Let me lead you in a short prayer. Heavenly Father,
I thank you for Jesus.
Because of him,
all
of my sins,
my failures and my mistakes,
past, present, and future,
have all been washed away
as if they never existed. I am the righteousness of God.
In Christ Jesus.
And when I come out of the water, I will come out of the water. Knowing that Jesus
is my cleanser.
He has washed away
not just my sins,
but But all the hooks and connections.
But all the hooks and connections.
All the snail trails.
All the snail trails.
I come out.
I come out in power.
I come out of that water.
In righteousness,
holiness,
and power.
Free
of all the hooks.
Ties and connections.
That have bound me.
To the enemy.
Through my sins,
through the sins of my ancestors,
and through the sins of other people
that have been intimate with me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, the last time I did this, I think 2 years ago, I focused on part D.
Living in the fullness of being a new creature. Living the fullness of being a new creation, a new creature.
Colossians 2 verse 12.
Colossians 2 verse 12. Says we're buried with him in baptism. We're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. So we're buried with him, but we're raised. Just as he's raised from the dead, we're raised up also with him.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
You're a new creature. You're a creature that's washed free.
You're a creature that's the son or daughter of God.
You're a creature with the word of God in your mouth.
You're a creature with the angels of God there to help you.
You're a creature who, when you speak the name of Jesus, all fallen angels, all demons, devils, and evil spirits must flee from you.
You're a creature that as long as you keep speaking the name of Jesus, you will be victorious.
2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus to be sin for us.
Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made in right standing with God.
We are in right standing with God.
The devil likes to put thoughts in our head, temptations.
Temptations to be disobedient.
Temptations to say bad things.
Temptations to be in anger.
Temptations to commit carnal sins.
He puts those thoughts in our heads.
And sooner or later, if we give in to them, after we do it, he comes back and says, what a bad person you are. What a bad girl you are to do that. What a bad boy you are to do that. What a terrible husband you are to do that. What a hypocrite you are to do this and then live as if you haven't done it.
The devil likes to get you to sin and then beat you up because you sin.
But God says, for you and for me, there's no condemnation.
Guilt and condemnation come from the enemy.
So when you come out of the water knowing guilt and condemnation come from the devil, not from God.
Holiness comes from God.
Love comes from God.
God loves you no matter what you've done.
In fact, God sees you free of all your sins.
For your sins is cast into the sea of forgetfulness.
He's forgotten them.
And you should do it as soon as you confess them.
As soon as you say, yes, I blew it. I'm not going to do it again. Forgive me, Lord.
You forget it.
And the devil comes to you and the thought comes to your head, boy, you're a terrible person.
You say, demon, in Jesus' name, get out of here.
Thought, get out of here. Pain, get out of here. Sickness, get out of here.
Depression, get out of here.
You speak it and you tell it to go because you are a child of the Most High God.
Romans 6 verse 4 again.
Therefore, we are buried with Jesus by baptism into death.
For just as Christ was raised up from the dead, the glory of the Father,
even so we should also walk in newness of life. For the glory of the Father keeps you in walking in newness of life.
Romans 8 verse 11.
Romans 8 verse 11.
But if the Spirit of God who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does, so the Spirit, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you.
He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to your mortal body
by Spirit that dwells in you.
What he's saying is the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, with the greatest demonstration of power in history, raised Jesus from the dead. And that same spirit with all that power lives in you. And that spirit with that power keeps you walking in newness of life and pumps life into every cell, organ, and system in your body. Pumps life. That's why a Christian's youth is renewed like the eagle. That's why we can walk in health and power. Because the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And his power will drive out all sickness, all infirmity from you. Just keep speaking it and keep believing. Ready for the final commitment prayer? Okay. Jesus.
Jesus.
You pay the price.
You pay the price.
For me to be free of the past.
For me to be free of the past.
And to live in newness of life.
And to live in newness of life.
And power.
And power.
I declare. That I am washed free of all sins.
That I am washed free of all sins.
Sicknesses.
Diseases.
Demons.
Devils
and evil spirits.
Devils and evil spirits.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus.
And as I go down into the water of baptism.
And as I go down in the water of baptism.
The water of separation.
The water of separation.
Will separate me from the past.
Will separate me from the past.
Will wash away everything.
Will wash away everything.
That separates me.
That separates me
from intimate fellowship with God.
From intimate fellowship with God.
For God being in the garden of my heart.
For God being in the garden of my heart.
The water of separation. Washes away all of that.
Washes away all of that.
Washes away all demons, devils, and evil spirits.
Washes away all demons, devils, and evil spirits.
Washes away all the snail trails.
Washes away all the snail trails.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
So I come up out of the water.
So I come up out of the water.
In the glory of God.
In the glory of God.
In the newness.
In the newness.
Of being an adult.
Of being an adult.
And a child.
And a child.
In the family of God.
In the family of God.
So I can now come boldly.
So I can now come boldly.
Under the throne of grace.
Under the throne of grace.
For mercy and help.
Mercy.
In time of need.
In time of need.
And when I say.
And when I
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Go.
Go.
All evil must leave me.
All evil must leave me.
So right now.
So right now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all the sins.
I repent of all the sins.
Of all my ancestors.
Of all my ancestors.
And of all the people.
And of all the people.
Who have been intimate with me.
Who have been intimate with me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I turn my back in these sins.
I turn my back on these sins.
In Jesus' name I renounce.
In Jesus' name I renounce.
The effects of these sins.
The effects of these sins.
In Jesus' name I renounce.
In Jesus' name I renounce.
Every demon.
Every demon.
Every devil.
Every devil.
Every evil spirit.
Every evil spirit.
Behind all these sins.
Behind all these sins.
And I say, come Lord Jesus.
And I say, come Lord Jesus.
Into the garden of my heart.
Into the garden of my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woohoo. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so some prayers as a new Christian. 1 Corinthians 2:16 is very powerful. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. This is particularly good for students and business people. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, from now on, once you come out of the water, treat every temptation, every thought that comes to your head that does not belong in the mind of Christ, every thought that comes to your head that you know God wouldn't like it, treat it as a temptation, confess it. And when you confess it, you say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce every demon, devil, evil spirit behind these sins. And I break every soul tie, every connection, every agreement between me and these sins and between me and the demons, devils, and evil spirits that are behind the sins. Recommendation for one more prayer. In the name of Jesus, the words of my mouth,
the words of my mouth
and the meditations of my heart.
Are pleasing to my Heavenly Father.
Psalm 19:14. And that's one you can do a lot of. It's very powerful. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, let's give the Lord a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus.